us in the everyday, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
Verse 31 says, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. There's a lot in that verse. There's a whole lot in that verse. He's going to suffer many things, be rejected of the religious system, which consists of the elders, chief priests, and scribes. Then he is going to be killed, executed, and after 3 days after his execution, he will rise again. He spoke this word openly in verse 32. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. He was speaking openly. In other words, he was speaking it very publicly. He was saying, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be rejected, and I'm going to be executed, and then I'm going to rise again. And what Peter heard, he didn't like. And so he took Jesus aside, who he did like very much. We could say Peter loved Jesus. He took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. That's quite the audacity, huh? Taking Jesus aside and give him a little rebuke. That's quite the audacity. Probably happens times when we don't get the answers to prayer that we asked for. I'll take him aside and rebuke him. Verse 33, but when he had turned around, Jesus, speaking of Jesus, he looked toward his other disciples and he rebuked Peter. So we got a little rebuking session going on. Peter rebuking Jesus, Jesus looking at the disciples. And who knows, maybe a little wink. And then he turns back to Peter and rebukes Peter. And says very preciously to him, get behind me, Satan. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. He's not calling Peter a devil. He's simply saying that what Peter is thinking comes from that kingdom. Peter, what you're thinking, although you think it's because you love me, you think it's because you like me, and you're trying to protect me, you think that that's a good thing, but it's not coming from the kingdom of God. This is coming from another kingdom, because that kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, of whom Satan is in charge of, that kingdom is more mindful, more concerned, more conscious, more towards the things of people, the things of men, than the things of God. In other words, in Satan's kingdom, man gets the priority. It's a man-centered life that we live. People are centered around themselves. It's a very selfish society we live in, no matter what country you live in within the world. It's filled with selfishness. It is man-centered. And that is the doctrine, if you will, or the philosophy of Satan's kingdom, that people be caught up in themselves, with themselves, occupied with themselves, thinking about themselves, prioritizing themselves, thinking only of themselves, to the point where God is of little value to them. That's his point. So Peter, what you're thinking, although it sounded good, you care for me, you love me, you're trying to protect me. I've told you I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be rejected, I'm going to go and be executed. You're trying to protect me, but that thought is not coming from God. It's coming from another kingdom. When he had called the people to himself, and he goes right into verse 34 from 33, because 34 does follow 33. Mark it down. Now, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples, he also said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life is going to lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's, for the work of the gospel, for the work of the ministry, will find it. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What is the soul worth to somebody? Whoever is ashamed of me and ashamed of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation we live in, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." And so we have a beautiful exchange here of Peter demonstrating love for Jesus, and Jesus identifying that love as not really being of God. Sounds good, seems to be sincere, seems to be genuine. Obviously, Peter's trying to protect him. What's wrong with that? Somebody trying to protect another one from harm. That's good, right? Not in this case, because it wasn't from the Father. It wasn't from God. It was from another kingdom. And he goes right into the message of the cross, because the cross is the eliminator of self. The cross needs to come in because self needs to be eliminated. As you'll see, Peter was not just caring for Christ, he was caring for himself. And that was really the priority here. Let's back up for a minute. In the Old Testament, we got in Genesis chapter 37, we have a guy named Jacob. And he loved one of his, he had 12 sons. But he loved one of those sons more than he loved the other 11. It was his favorite son. It was the one that he doted over, this son, more than any of the other ones. That son's name was Joseph. He made Joseph the coat of many colors. He favored Joseph. And as a result, the other 11 sons didn't quite care for Joseph because he was the daddy's favorite. And so they were jealous of him. They didn't care about him. And it caused them to rise up against him and almost kill him. They threw him into a pit. They almost had him murdered. Instead, they sold him into slavery. But the point is, in Genesis 37, the Bible tells us that Jacob loved Joseph. But what kind of love was it? It was a love that showed favoritism. It was a love that was a respecter of persons. It wasn't a godly love. It was human love that picked one person out of a crowd and said, "I love this one more than I love the rest of them." Characteristic of human love. Judges chapter 16, we have the story of Samson. Strong guy. He loved a lady named Delilah. That's what it tells us. He says he loved Delilah very, very much. Judges 16. But that love that he had for Delilah corrupted his walk with God. He loved her, but his love drew him away from God and what he was supposed to do. So the love that he had for Delilah didn't come from God. It wasn't a godly love. It was human love, human affection, human attraction, even lust. 2 Samuel chapter 11, David, in the same manner, loved another lady. Her name was Bathsheba. What did that result? Was that God's love? No. It's called love. The word love is there. It's called love, but it wasn't God's love. It was human love, human attraction, and lust. It ended up in adultery and ended up in murder of her husband. David's son, one of David's sons, in 2 Samuel chapter 13, his name is Ammon. A-M-M-O-N, his name is Ammon. He had a half-sister. Her name was Tamar. T-A-M-A-R. And it says that Ammon loved Tamar. He loved her so much. 2 Samuel 13, you can read it. He loved her. But was it God's love? He deceived his dad to get the father to allow him to get close to her. Then when he got close to her, he raped her. Then after he raped her, he rejected her. And after he rejected her, he had her sent away from the palace and escorted out of the city into a distant village, never to be seen of again. Was that the love of God? No. Human lust, human attraction, human love. But called love, nevertheless. Another son of David named Absalom says that he loved the people of Jerusalem, loved the people of Israel. He loved his people, loved his countrymen. But that love was not a godly love, because he used that love to cause them to revolt and overthrow their king, who was David at the time. David was run out of town. He had to flee for his life. 2 Samuel chapter 15. All of that, beginning with the word love. He loved him. He loved the people. This was the result. It wasn't God's love, was it? Solomon loved many foreign ladies, many foreign women, we're told. Women from many different countries. He had a collection of them. Says he loved them all. Was it God's love? Of course not. It was lust. It was human attraction. It was whatever. It was fell far short of the love of God. But it was called love. 1 Kings 11. He loved many strange women, it says. Foreign women. It was called love, but it wasn't really love. It wasn't God's love. Human love. There's such a difference. In Mark chapter 10, we get up into the New Testament. We have the rich young ruler. You've heard that story before. He came to Jesus, wanted to know what to do to inherit eternal life. And it ended up, at the end of the story, we find out that the rich young ruler loved his money more than he loved the Lord. He loved his money more. He put esteemed higher value on his portfolio. He came down to make the decision to follow Christ.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993. Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program, and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Hello, this is David Wilbur, a professional insurance agent right here on the Treasure Coast for more than 30 years and partner in InsurePro Insurance Agency located in St. Lucie West.